walls and grips the solid rock. I come to you this afternoon giving all honor and praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend MacMillan and Reverend Riley, my lovely wife, and my beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is submitted. Speak, Lord, for your servant is committed. Take control, Lord. Guide me where you would want me to go, Lord, and impress upon me the things that you want me to know. Impress upon me the things you want me to say. Impress upon me the things that you want me to do, Lord. Come, Holy Father. Come, Heavenly Dove. Light right now on this place, Lord, and take control.
Control.
Enlighten from the pulpit to the pew, Lord. Let us know that you are there, and Lord, there's nothing else that we need. It's you're all that we need, Lord. Just come, Holy Spirit. Come, Heavenly Dove. Take control right now. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we do pray. Amen. Amen. My mind is running about 1,000 miles an hour. During this Easter season, what just causes me to think and to ponder, and that's what we all should be doing. I want to read a little bit, connecting the scriptures, really what was read this morning. We had read from John, I think, chapter 20, 29 through 31. Talks about us really, that those who have not seen Jesus talking to Thomas, and it also expresses John's concerns that it's a written record. He said, this is what I'm going to pass on so that people will have something to believe in. And from Luke, you saw the same thing, as Luke is saying that here is the written word. I got this as from the eyewitnesses and the ones that walked with me and talked with me. And I recorded yet another view so that you would know that these words are true. And then this is the second letter that I'll be reading from, or this second scripture that I'll be reading from is Acts, which is the second writing that Luke did, starting with the first chapter. And he addresses the same person as he did in Luke. So Luke 1 and 1 reads thusly. It says that the former treatise that I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commands unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. I just skip down to the 8th verse, and it said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Mm-hmm. And I want to use this afternoon as a topic, a super topic you can use, on the road from Calvary to Pentecost. And then as a subtopic, you can just use passion, pardon, and power.
All right.
Passion, pardon, and power. As I said before, that this season, that too many times what we do is just, we celebrate Easter, mm-hmm. and as the college kids are doing damn basketball, we are one and done. But Easter is not just a day. Easter is a season. At smallest, it's a season, at least, that the Christian should be concerned with, this whole season, that when Christ, with his passion, he was crucified and he died that we might be pardoned. And
yes.
He promised that he would send back the Holy Ghost that we might have power.
Yes.
It's all during this season. If you look at this season from the day that he got up out of the grave to Pentecost, if you look at this period, it should go into May 20th this year. It's seven Sundays after Easter that would contain that Easter season. So during this season, what we should be doing is reflecting and thinking about,
yes,
Jesus and all that he did for us and all of our concerns. Any questions that we may have, we should be raising them, such as Thomas saying, I need to see you, Lord.
Yes.
But the questions that you may have during this season, you say, let me just dig a little deeper. Let me move a little closer to the Lord during this season that is so important, mm-hmm. to Christians. And we have an advantage over the other people. If you look at the saints from the Old Testament, and they had to look forward to Jesus. They said, by faith, I believe that he's coming, but we have no signs of that. I got to look forward to,
right,
to see that. So that there's people from the Old Testament, and I call it Old Testament faith, that look forward. Then there's the living faith, those that walk with him, his apostles and his disciples. They were there with him, and call that living faith. But we got an advantage on all of them because we get to look back and see all the recorded scriptures and read all of the different accounts of what God did, what Jesus did. We can read all the different accounts, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us through it all. So we really don't even have to read our Bible by ourselves. The Holy Spirit will enlighten us. The Holy Spirit will make the words of the Bible life to us.
Yes.
Well,
we have an advantage. So as we move toward this day of Pentecost, and I reflect back on last year, I did a series of sermons, and in those series, I refer to an article by, the person's name is Dr. Jerry Vines, and he talked about the average Christian and the average church and where we are. He says the average Christian and the average church are bogged down and somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. He said they've all been to Calvary and they've been pardoned, but they have not been to Pentecost to get power.
All right.
Find yourself sometime bogged down in between Calvary. My Savior lives, but I'm walking around with not using the power that he's left for me.
Yes.
Caught in between Calvary and Pentecost. On this road, you know, Jesus came, when he came to be God with us. That's when he walked with the disciples and the apostles. And he died on Calvary to be God for us.
Yes, yes.
He paid a price for our pardon. See, pardon is, that's an action of forgiveness.
Yes.
It says, I know you did something. So I know you're wrong, but I'm going to give you a pardon. I'm going to erase what you did. Mm-hmm.
Well,
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe thinking, that word is floating around now too, but this is a big difference. But the action of forgiveness for guilt, something that we had done and something that we could not pay for, so God sent his son and said, I'm going to wipe that out. Don't even worry about that.
Thank you.
So God for us. And then he came with power of Pentecost to be God in us. He said, I'm going to give you all that you need. I'm going to give you power to do things that you can't do without me. So this book of Acts, because some call it Acts of the Apostles, others call it Acts of the Holy Ghost. But here it tells us what we ought to be doing during this season. And for a Christian, really, we ought to be doing it all of the time.
Yes, yes.
We ought to be seeking the things of the kingdom. We talked in Sunday school. We talked about the kingdom of God and what is heaven. And just ponder, but we should be seeking the things of the kingdom. What are these things of the kingdom?
Yes. So,
another thing this instructed us to do, it said stay in the place where you are, where if you're a Christian, it says stay where you are. If you know the words of prayer, if you know Jesus, and stay right there. For the last time that you saw him, the last time you had contact with Jesus, if you're in that place, stay in that place. If you're not in that place, go back to that place where you first saw Jesus. And this season. And if you don't know Jesus, then start seeking him. Start trying to find him. Start trying to look for him. This is the season. So Acts 1 and 3 says, now, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion.
Yes.
By many proofs. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of God. We said, he have heard, don't depart. Sometime in the midnight hours, when you're praying and you're calling on God and you're wondering where he is and why don't he answer your prayer, but the word says don't give up. Just stay there. Just tarry there. Just stay there.
Yes, okay.
Don't depart and keep seeking those things that pertain to the kingdom. What the kingdom? What is the kingdom? And,
all right.
You know, Thomas, who we finished the scripture, Jesus was talking to in our scripture this morning. Thomas had spoken to Jesus early, and he had asked, and he said, we don't know where you're going, Lord. When Jesus told him, I got to go someplace.
Yes, indeed.
said, but if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive unto you, you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. But Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest.
Right.
And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but through me. So in order for us to be seeking the kingdom, you could make that equate, you could equate it with getting to know Jesus better. I am the way, the truth, and the light. We had a question this morning in Sunday school talking about heaven. And does the Bible say that we will all go to heaven as Christians, that we all go to heaven after we die? And when we talked and pondered about it for a minute, we realized that wherever Jesus is, it's going to be heaven. People are looking for this place and that place. But where I want to go is wherever Jesus is, then that is heaven. That's
hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Get to know him. During this season, the songwriter said that I thought I knew him on yesterday.
Well,
I got to know him in a better way. And that's what this season is all about. If you're going through something, you need to move a little closer to the Lord and get to know him better. And I want to be where he is. So I want to ask you a question today. During this Easter season, and if you don't get what I'm saying up here, I'm gonna plant something in your head.
Yes.
So what are you, when we go looking for Jesus, what are you looking for when you seek Jesus?
What are you looking for?
And then I want you to just stay with me. What if you were blind and could not see?
Well,
then what would you look for when you were looking for Jesus? What if you were deaf and dumb, you could not see and you could not hear, then what would you be looking for when you look for Jesus? Y'all stay with me now.
All right.
What if you could not see and could not hear and could not feel? You know how blind people can read by touching. But what if you had no arms and you could not see and you could not hear? Then what would you be looking for when you look for Jesus?
All right.
Paint the picture.
So what does it take for you to see Jesus? Come on, Holy Ghost. Are you looking for an image? Perhaps you've seen a picture. So when you think you're looking for Jesus, you find yourself looking for an image. You're looking for something that you have seen before. So
all right.
John 20:24 says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, who was not with the others when Jesus came. So when they told him, we have seen the Lord.
All right.
But he replied, I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. And Thomas took it a level higher. He said, And then I need to touch.
Yes, he did touch.
Wow.
I won't believe in unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints that's in his hands. And I need to thrust my hand in his side.
Yes. All right.
What does it take for you to see Jesus? Are you looking for a picture? Are you looking for a man? Are you imagining a spirit? What is it that you're looking for when you're seeking Jesus? And
right.
And as we said, that's equated to the kingdom of heaven. I'm seeking God's kingdom. I'm those things that pertain to the kingdom. I'm seeking those things. What do they look like? Mm-hmm. Are you looking or listening for a sound? Yeah. Maybe if I hear this. They tell me Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in, and she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels ask her, because they've taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him.
Oh, Jesus.
It felt like that.
Well,
she turned to leave, and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. She had seen him before, my Bible says. But she didn't recognize him. But he said, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. And she said, "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary?"
Jesus. Oh, yes, sir.
Come on in.
Yes, sir.
Well?
And she turned to him and she cried out, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. She said, "That's my master. I know who you are, because I know how you sound. I heard you."
Oh, yes. All right.
Go ahead.
Good.
Jesus.
I looked at you, and I still didn't know who you were, but when I heard you, I knew who you were, so I needed to hear you, to know who you are. Look, what does it take for you to see Jesus?
All right.
Are you waiting for some type of action, or for him to do some type of miracle?
Yes,
Luke 24:29 said, "But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And, and when he did, their eyes were open."
Yes, sir. That's right. I
walked with him, and I didn't know who he was. I talked with him, but I didn't know who he was. But when he broke bread and he did that thing that was familiar to me, and I felt on the inside, my heart just began to burn, because then I knew I was with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Well,
hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Does it take a miracle? The Bible says that in John 21 that later Jesus appeared to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee.
Come on now.
This is how it happened. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. But the disciples couldn't see who he was.
That's right.
He cried out to him. He said, fellas,
yeah, go ahead.
Have you caught any fish?
Come on.
Yay!
Y'all professional. Have you caught any fish? And they said, nope. Then he said, throw out your net on the right hand side of the boat. Take it from where you got it and put it on the other side.
All right. Come on.
And you'll get some.
Yes.
So they did. And when they did, they couldn't even haul the net in because there was so many fish in it.
Yes. Look at you.
Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord.
It's the Lord. Hallelujah.
I saw him and I didn't know him. I heard him and I still didn't know him. But when he saw my situation and understood where I was, and he fixed it for me, and then I knew that it was the Lord.
Jesus will fix it. Yes, he'll fix it. Oh, yes, sir, God.
So what does it take for you to see Jesus? Maybe it's a place. I heard a story. It said about a little boy that got lost. It said somebody found him and he was far, far away from home. And they asked him where he lived. He said, I don't know where I live. He said, but I go to a church and the church has got a big white temple on it, and he described the church and he said, I believe if you can get me back to church, then I can find my way home.
All right. Hallelujah.
All right.
I just need a place to. If I can go back and find that place where I first met the Lord, if I can find that place, then I think I can find my way home. And John 18:1 says, after these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley and his disciples entered a grove of olive trees.
Right.
Just before Judas brought the people there. But Judas came, when he came to find the Lord, he went to a place. He said, I'm going to take you to where I think Jesus goes. I know a place that he goes to. So
yes.
Follow me, I can take you to Jesus. Sometimes it's a place that will carry you back to Jesus. So what does it take for you to see Jesus? Maybe a feeling. Because the scripture says the righteous shall live by faith.
By faith.
Romans 1:17 says without faith is impossible to please God. So maybe it's a feeling that I just know that everything is going to be all right.
That's right.
I just know if I can get myself out of the way and stop trying to figure this out, I can know that everything is going to be all right because I got a feeling. Everything is going to be all right. Sometimes it takes a feeling. But then, finally, we shouldn't even have to have a feeling.
All right now.
To know that God's there. You see, in the scripture this afternoon that we're reading, we're talking, Luke is talking to a person named Theophilus. And if you look through the Bible and study as I did, then you find out that nobody really knows who Theophilus is. They got some theories. Everybody's got a different theory. Some say that Theophilus was a wealthy relative of Caesar. Some say he was an influential government official. Some others say he was a wealthy benefactor who supported Paul. Or maybe he was Paul's Roman lawyer. But none of that really matters.
All right, now talk.
You see, we cannot know for sure who Theophilus was, but we can know what Luke's intentions for writing was. Both in the scripture that I've read, both in Luke. Luke wrote a historical account of the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he detailed the spread of the Christianity. His intention was to give Theophilus certainty.
Certainty,
Lord. He wanted to give him certainty that the things he had been taught were indeed true and trustworthy. So if you can't see him and you can't hear him, you can't get a feeling and you're not seeing any miracles, then pick up your Bible because it's recorded there. It says it's right here that God has made a promise and God is a promise keeper.
Yes, he is.
Theophilus. I dug a little deeper on Theophilus. You see, the name itself, it literally means loved by God. Other translation says a friend of God. So you can take this scripture in Luke and the one in Acts, you can take them personally. When he says, oh, Theophilus, he's talking to you because you are a friend of God.
That's right.
See, when all else fails, and I'm looking for Jesus, but I just can't find him. Pick up your Bible and read your Bible and know that God has made promises to you. Standing on the promises. That cannot fail. I want y'all to hear me now. When all else, I can't get it right. I can't put my hands on God. I'm searching and I'm praying and I just can't put my hands on him. I just can't get a hold to God. Then I can go and read his book and I can stand on his promises. So if I can't find Jesus anywhere else, when I look all high and low and I can't find him, I can't find him in the song when I sing and I sing myself happy, or when I preach and I preach myself happy, when I can't find Jesus anywhere, then I go and I read his book. And
yes.
That's right.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail.
Cannot.
When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God,
yes,
I shall prevail. Amen. Standing on the promises of God. When I need him, I can get to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I can't see him, I can get to him. When I can't hear him, I can get to him. When the miracles in my life are not happening, I can get to him, because it's all in here, and he promised it to me. All I got to do is pick up his word and say, right there, Luke says.
Yes, sir.
And Luke said, I didn't see it myself. He said, but I know some eyewitnesses. I know the witnesses. I know the apostles personally. I know the disciples personally. So I verified everything. That's what Luke was. You see, Luke was a physician. And he said, I verified that the word is true.
Yes, hallelujah.
You might not want to take it from those holy rollers that's been running with him. They may be different, but I looked at it, I researched it, I looked around and verified that everything they said was true.
Yes. That's right.
You want to find Jesus?
Yes.
Go to his word. Passion. He died for you, and he died for me. So that he could buy your pardon. My daughter had in the bulletin, I'm free. He promised to set you free.
That's a promise.
He promised to give you power. You can find it in his word. So if you're going through something, God is all you need.
Yes, sir, God.
He know your situation already. He know if you got a pain in your body.
Yes, he does.
That's right.
He know if you're having a hard time with your child. He knows all about you all.
Yes.
Right. On this road from Calvary to Pentecost. Ask all the questions you wish. God is ready for them. He said, just be ready for the answer that I give you.
Well,
when Thomas said to him, except I see.
Yes, sir, God.
Except I feel. Thomas didn't even know what he was asking for. When Jesus appeared and Jesus said, here, you see me?
Yes.
Put your hand, your fingers in my nail prints and throw your hand off in my side. And Thomas said, it's all right.
I believe.
I do.
Come on, man. That's right.
We serve a God got all power in his hand. When you leave here today, leave with power. Knowing that there's nothing that this world can dish up to you that your God can't handle.
All right, sir, God. Thank you, Lord.
On the road from Calvary to Pentecost. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for holding our hand on this journey as we travel along. Thank you for holding our hand. Thank you for your reassurances and letting us know that you're always there.
Always.
That you always give us a means to find you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise your name.
Yes, Lord.
It's in Jesus' name we pray.